We're going to be in John chapter 13 this morning. John chapter number 13. And Pastor asked me to do Sunday school. He actually asked me to do opening, but I was running late, so Brother Young took care of opening for me. So appreciate him doing that. John chapter number 13. Happy anniversary, Brother Klein. All right, we'll get started here this morning. And I don't think I'll be super long this morning. I always say that, and then it just, sometimes it goes longer. I don't know. But John chapter number 13, we'll look at verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Let's pray this morning, and we'll look at this thought we have for this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to give us to come to your house, Lord. I thank you for this truth. Lord, I thank you for the conviction of it. And Lord, I feel like many times in my life, it's just probably one of the hardest things to do. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to evaluate each one of our lives this morning. Doesn't matter our age, our status, how you have created us to be, our personalities, Lord. This is something that I believe that you want all of us to do. And God, I thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter number 13 is they have come and they have met for the last Passover. Okay, and so that is the kind of the background of the story here. And so it's Jesus and his 12 disciples. And we could go through all 12 of the disciples, which is an interesting study in and of itself. Each one of these disciples and their background is fascinating. And why God chose them is fascinating. And I love the story of that. But this morning, I want to look at just this thought of when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. The Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, verse 1, that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then it goes into this supper being ended, Jesus knowing the Father had given all things. And verse number 3 is an interesting verse. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. So Jesus knows where his status is, all right? Jesus doesn't have any question about his deity. Jesus doesn't have any question about where he is in that status of, you know, his relationship to the Father, what he is on earth here to do. Is it that, does that mean he's looking forward to what is coming? No, I don't believe it does. Obviously, we see later in the garden, he asks, you know, let this cup pass from me. So I don't think Jesus is looking forward to that, but Jesus knows why he's there. He's got a very direct purpose. He's got a plan. He has something he's looking forward to doing, okay? But then Jesus does this very interesting, and I think our, and this is just me, maybe, all right? But, you know, our human nature, at least in the Western culture, okay, people's feet are kind of like a, you know, you can, I don't know, just like a weird thing, okay? Like, I just, you can shake someone's hand, okay? But a lot of people are like, don't touch my feet, right? Some people have ticklish feet. I don't really have ticklish feet, all right? And I think that's maybe just something I've learned to, all right. But like my kids, you know, I'll be sitting in the recliner, right? So my kids will come up, especially Lydia. The younger the kids, the worse they do at tickling. You know, they think that they're tickling and they're like digging their fingers in, right? And like, and so you laugh, you know, a complimentary laugh for them just to make them feel like they're doing something. And then you grab them and then you can actually tickle their feet and they're like rolling all over the floor and dying laughing and crying. And hopefully that's all they're doing and not making messes too. So we hope we stop there. But the feet, you know, I mean, in Western culture, very much our feet is not something that we glorify. We'll just say that. It's not like, you know, I mean, man, they have a nice set of feet. Okay, we don't really, that's not heard anywhere. I remember going into like McDonald's once though, and I'm sure they weren't actually his shoes because I'm pretty sure that like probably all McDonald's had a pair, but like Shaquille O'Neal's shoes. You know, they used to have like where Shaquille O'Neal, like he was a promotion thing for the McDonald's. So they would have like Shaquille O'Neal, and it was like, I mean, huge. Well, I mean, that is something worth admiring at some point. It's like, man, that's a big foot, okay? But as a general rule, we don't really, you know, when we compliment someone, it's not on the top of the list, okay? I mean, yeah, man, they you know, they have beautiful eyes. I mean, we might even notice other things, like odd things, like, man, they look like they got big ears. I mean, there's different things. They got a huge nose. But we still don't really ever get to, man, they got really small feet or really big feet. I mean, sometimes it's noticeable, but not typically, okay? But in the Eastern culture, all right, it was a little bit different. I mean, your feet, and because of, you know, we wear closed shoes by and large, they didn't wear, I mean, if they wore shoes, they would have just been sandals. So their culture would have been very different when it comes. There was very much some symbolic things. If you remember, when Jesus told the disciples to go preach the gospel, and there were people that rejected that gospel, right? Jesus said, don't, you know, shake the dust off the soles of your feet because that city's condemned, okay? And so there was some symbolicness, some symbolisms into the people's feet. You know, the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bear the good tidings, right? And we don't think, there again, that is kind of an Eastern culture thing, not a Western culture thing, because there again, we don't look at someone's feet as this beautiful thing, okay? They're just feet. Where you don't, it's one of those things in Western culture that you don't appreciate until it hurts, right? Anybody ever had something wrong with your foot? And then, okay, so when I've probably one major thing. So I had the pallet racks, a lot of you know. So I had a skid set of pallet forks drop off of a skid steer. I was working under the skid steer, and they came off the skid steer, and they hit my head. So I've got a scar on the back of my head, and I've got a scar on my shoulder. So Lord honestly spared my life. Like, he could have easily killed me. But so I've got a scar. It came down the back of my head, hit my shoulder, and then landed on my foot. Okay, and they said that my foot wasn't broken, but I would have, you know, David, I would have begged to differ. You know, I mean, they were all looking at the X-rays, and well, it ain't broken. I'm like, Tell that to my foot, all right? I mean, it hurts really bad. Well, they said, well, it was extremely bruised. Okay, all right. I mean, and I still wanted to debate with them because I'm not the doctor. I just know how my body feels at this point. You know, no, something is wrong with my foot, okay? I shouldn't be limping, you know, because I went for a while, and I was like 2 weeks after the fact. You know, I'm still limping around, and I finally went, and they put me in one of those walking boot things, all right? I don't know why. I really don't. I think it's to keep my foot from flexing or something, all right? I'm not a doctor, like I said, all right? But you don't appreciate your feet until they hurt, right? And my foot hurts, and I'm like walking around. You know, honestly, it didn't hurt as much. My wife's in here, so I shouldn't say this. Sometimes I was just wanting sympathy. So, you know, you come home from work, oh man, my foot hurts. You know, did it really hurt that bad? No. I just try to get some kind of, you know, hopefully brownies or, you know, cookies or something, you know, sympathy food. But you don't appreciate it until, you know, you're walking, ladies, you're walking across the floor, and your son left Legos laying all over the floor, and you don't think about your feet until you step on a Lego, and then it's, you know, oh, God put senses in my feet that tell me that my son should not have set Legos all over the floor, or you stub your toe, you know, and there's just some parts of your body that if you hurt it, it's in like an auto, at least this is me, and maybe I'm a big baby, Brother Chuck, but when I stub my toe, it's like I curl up in a fetal position on the floor and just grimace for a while, right? It hurts. And then when I became a man, I put away childish things, so I get back up and continue on with life. But I don't know. But when Jesus, so, you know, if I had everybody in here, right, and I said, all right, everybody take your shoes off. There's a certain part of you that's like, no, I'm not taking my shoes off. Now, if there's some ladies in here who'd be like, oh, yes, please, I just need to get my shoes off my feet, all right? But there would also be that question of, you know, okay, I wouldn't come to Brother Tom and be like, Brother Tom, would you mind taking your shoes off? Right? I mean, that's it's like, no, all right, I'm not doing that, all right? If I said, take your socks off. Now that's like a whole, okay, taking your shoes off is one thing. I mean, I'll take my shoe off. That's like not a big deal, okay? But Brother Ryan, I'm not taking my sock off right now, okay? That's just like, it's almost a very personal part of us. And, okay, you can shake someone, but no one shakes feet, okay? You can shake someone's hand and stuff like that, but no one shakes feet. So, you know, no one gives someone a high five with their foot, okay? That we just don't do that in our culture. So when Jesus, but here, this wasn't necessarily abnormal in the fact that it wasn't abnormal as much as for someone to wash someone's feet. So like as a guest, you would come in and you would have, it would be not unusual for maybe some servants to come and wash the feet of the guest. So that would not be necessarily an unnatural thing. But for the host, let's say you had the host, for the host to come in and to do that would be a little more odd, a little more unnatural, okay? But what Jesus did here is amazing because Jesus showed us something that I think at least Brother Chad has a problem with on a lot of times. And that is a simple fact of humility and being willing to serve someone that is not our equal. You know, Jesus talked about, and I should have written the reference down, it's easy to invite someone over to your house when, you know, in all honesty, they're probably going to invite you at some point or they're going to be an equal with you. You know what is really hard sometimes, and this is our pride, is to reach down to someone that is not the same as us. And be able to help someone that's not like us. You know, and we have kind of, in our society, in Christianity even, sometimes we've gotten to the place where we, in our efforts to be isolated or to be separate, let me say it that way, in our efforts to be separated, we have become isolated. You know, and we don't want to reach down to someone that doesn't see everything eye to eye like us. We don't want to even have a conversation. Listen, sometimes we don't even want to have a conversation with someone. You know, I mean, I don't care your political. I don't know everybody in here and your political views on everything. But, you know, we don't even. So I went to this thing. I kind of got snookered into it. So I had a guy, a friend of mine, he's like, hey, I've got the state director for, state director for Turning Point USA, okay? So for the state, he's the director of it. They're supposed to be at my house. He's like, would you like to come meet him? Come on. Sure. I'm not like part of the organization or nothing, but it's a pretty decent place and as far as a political thing. And I'm like, yeah. So I go, and it actually ended up being more of a political thing than like a Turning Point thing, all right? But I went there, and, you know, I'm going to this place, and I see this person, and it's easy to talk to them because they have pretty much the same viewpoints that I do. You know, they believe in capitalism, you know, shocker. They believe in capitalism. They believe that good religion, you know, and there again, I'm a Baptist and I'm unapologetic about it, but Judeo-Christianity, all right, that the Judeo-Christian philosophy, which is founded on the Bible, okay, that is Bible religion, okay, is Judeo-Christianity. So that is what they believe in. And so you know what? It's Brother Ryan, it's easy for me to carry on a conversation with them. Because they really have the same viewpoints. The things I don't like, they don't like. The things I do like, they like. You know, and it is easy to carry on conversation. But what about those that don't believe everything that I believe? And sometimes, this is just me because I'm not confrontational. I would rather just not be like, well, they're bad. I don't agree with them. Okay? And because I don't, some of it is my ignorance, to be perfectly honest, because as Christians, many times we don't really know why we believe what we believe. We just believe it, okay? Because we've heard that our whole life, but we really don't know why. And that is a good reason why, you know, study to show yourself approved unto God. Read, educate yourself on why do you believe, okay? You know, why do I believe in capitalism versus just the fact that everyone should have an equal amount of everything? Okay, why do I believe in these different philosophies? Okay, well, there's a reason that we should believe that. But it's hard for me, all right, just to be honest, to talk to someone that does not believe like I do. It just is, okay? But what Jesus did here was amazing because he humbled himself, all right? And I want you to think about this. You know, in some ways, it would have been all right to wash the feet of John. Okay, because like I said, get past the whole feet thing, right? But to wash the feet of John, because that was the disciple that Jesus loved. I mean, that was like his friend, the one that was close to him. It would have even been, you know, we see here Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not, you know, don't wash any part of me. You can't do that. You are better than that. And Jesus went on to say, no, if I don't wash your feet, you know, I don't want, and then Peter is, you know, the bombastic, well, then wash everything, you know. But, okay, then Peter, you know, all right. And then you've got Thomas, and we can go all, Simon the Zealot, all these different people. But then I want you to think about this. All 12 of these disciples are still sitting there. So that means that Jesus also went to the feet of Judas Iscariot, the person that with divine knowledge, right? I mean, Jesus knows this. Jesus is God. So with divine knowledge, he knows that within just a few minutes, he will tell Judas Iscariot, what thou doest, do quickly. Okay? And so within just a few minutes of this moment, but Jesus kneels down and he takes the feet of Judas Iscariot and he washes the feet of Judas Iscariot and dries them with the towel that he is girded with. Can you imagine? Okay, I'm sorry, but that's a lot of humility. Not only is it somebody that doesn't agree 100% with you,
This is someone that's about to betray you, okay? And there's not much harder in life than something than when someone betrays you. That is probably one of the hardest things to deal with, is when somebody that you should trust and somebody that you should love stabs you in the back. Okay? But Jesus took this moment, Jesus took this opportunity to reach down to him and to wash his feet. And many times in my life, I've just found that my pride, and I'm just, you know, Brichad, do you have a besetting sin? Yes. I think we probably all do. But mine, I'll just tell you. So whenever you see it in my life, you'll know that that's it. That is Brother Chad's besetting sin, all right? It's pride. You know, honestly, there's so many times that, okay, I think as a Christian young person, when you grow up, you know, I had great parents that brought me up and they sheltered me. I didn't have to experience a lot of the junk of the world. And I am 100% thankful for that, and I don't regret that at all. And I'm so thankful for my mom and dad and them doing that in my life.
Amen.
I am. I don't have any regrets. But the problem sometimes, because I don't know what it is to be hungover from alcohol. I don't know what that's like. I've never done it. I've never drank any alcohol my whole life. Amen. I don't know what it is to be overdosed with drugs. I don't, because I've never had drugs, all right, of any, I mean, except for, like, I don't know, whatever. I guess that's a drug. Medicine, yeah. But even that, I don't take any medicine at all. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to live in an abusive home and the scars that causes in a person, okay? I don't know what that's like. Because I never experienced that, okay? But the problem with that is sometimes because we see people that have had to live through all that and the scars that they carry because of that, sometimes we don't want anything to do with them because they're different than us, right? At least that's me. I don't know. That person is... You know, we're picking up some kids right now on our buses. That I promise you live in hell holes. And I don't say that lightly. Like if the devil could create a home, these kids are probably living in it. I don't understand what that is like because I didn't live in that. But as a Christian young person, sometimes, and I challenge our teenagers all the time about this, sometimes we grow up and we start to look at those people with disdain, okay? Now, I'm not saying when you go out and you just, you know, start living that lifestyle just so you can be in touch with someone, okay? I'm not promoting that at all. But, you know, when I've got, and none of you know them, but, you know, I know a lot of people here in town, and you know, we look at somebody walking down the road and obviously, you know, you can tell by their features that they're into drugs and they're into alcohol, and you watch them go over to a house and instead of climbing, you know, somebody hands them and this has happened. Somebody hands them, you know, they're cold. They're freezing. Somebody hands them a brand new Carhartt coat. And this is their mind. Brand new Carhartt coat. And they'll go over and they set it on the ground, take the coat off and set it on the ground and light the coat on fire because they're cold to get heat out of it. Okay, their mind, does that make sense? Their mind's not there. Okay, their solution is instead of enjoying this coat, they get more heat out of it if they burn it. Okay, and sometimes we look at people like, you know what Jesus didn't do? Or did do, Jesus went down and, you know, Jesus didn't eat with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If Jesus had two groups of people he could eat with, he went over here to the sinners and the publicans and ate with them. And I think sometimes in my life, I get to the place that it's easier. Yeah, it's easy to talk to people that come to church all the time and we fellowship and we have things in common. But what about, you know, how am I going to, okay, they're saved. What about reaching down to this person that's not saved, that needs help? And sometimes as you know, I think our Christian, you say, Brother Chad, what is probably the one thing our Christian young people struggle with as much as anything? Probably the same thing I did. I do. Pride. We just look at other people with this disdain because, well, I don't do that. I'm better than that. Well, Jesus didn't do that. All right? Was Jesus better? 100%. Right? Verse number 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. All right? In Philippians, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of man, thought it not robbery to be equal, but made himself of no reputation, was and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Now listen, Jesus took upon him the form of a servant to minister. Why? To set an example for us. All right? If Jesus, the Son of God, who had God had given all things into his hand, who came from God and was going to God, could reach down here to a little snot-nosed kid and pick him up and sit him on their lap and say, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Right? And he set that little child on his lap. It wasn't the big, you know, disciples that had gone out and seen great miracles. No, it was a little child that he sat up there on his lap. Brother Chad, what is this morning's lesson? All right, here, in a nutshell, I think sometimes we just need to reevaluate where we're at. Because as Christians, as older Christians even, sometimes we get this hardness. Well, bless God, I'm independent, fundamental, separated. And I agree with that. That's the life I live. Okay? But I also want to be able to reach down here and connect with somebody and say, hey, can I help you? Hey, you want to go out to get some coffee with me? Right? You know, sometimes people just need somebody that shows some interest in them, shows some love to them. You know what some of these bus kids need? Okay, like I said, if the devil could create a home, some of these kids are probably living in it. Some adults are probably living in it. Wouldn't it be nice to say, hey, I get to go to church and I get to see someone and they bring a smile to my face and they get to help me. And not just at church, not just a 1 hour foray on Sunday. They'll shoot a text to me during the week. And don't expect me to send everybody a text, all right? I can't even respond to the text I get, let alone send text to everybody, all right? I'm not a texter, all right? But wouldn't it be nice if we could reach down to somebody and say, all right? But you know what that causes us to do? We have to be humble enough to do that. I have to be humble enough. You say, Brother Chad, are you better than everybody? No. That's what I'm saying. I am flesh and blood like anybody else sitting in this room. Flesh and blood. Okay? I've got besetting sins. I've got things I struggle with on a day-to-day basis. Okay? And you know, what did Jesus say? They that transgress in one of the law has transgressed what? The whole law. Right? But I am not a murderer. And that's where we come back to. We still come back to that. But I haven't done that. Yeah, I'm a sinner. And we all admit that. I mean, I think everyone in here, thinking people, will admit that I have disobeyed God's laws. I'm a sinner. And then we always throw in that, but I'm not a whoremonger. But I haven't done this. But listen, folks, but by the grace of God, we would all wind up in hell. Regardless of if the only sin I ever told was a lie, or the only sin I ever done was, you know, stole the piece of bazooka bubblegum from the IGA. And trust me, it's imprinted upon my memory because I got caught by my mother. All right? If that was the only thing I'd ever done my whole life that was bad, I would go to the exact same hell that the worst murderer in the world, you know, Adolf Hitler or whoever, the exact same hell that they're going to. You say, but that's not fair. Oh, well, I mean, it's what God said, so for the wages of sin is death, it didn't like categorize. Okay, now this is my personal opinion, I can't prove it. I really think that God has some really bad parts of hell, probably for really bad people. No, I don't know. Maybe that's my justification in my mind. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, we all go there. We all go there. Except for the grace of God. So the grace of God that saves me is the same grace of God that saves Dustin that's walking down the street out here and his mind's gone. Okay? So if God can show me that grace, wouldn't I be able to show someone else the same grace that God showed to me? That humility. And you know what it does take? It just takes some humility. Well, I don't want to go talk to that new visitor because, well, I don't know what to say to him. Did you ever think that the new visitor probably doesn't really want to come talk to you because the same reason? They don't know what, it's not that they're anti-person. They just don't know what to talk about. I love going to people who, you say, Brother Chad, you're up here talking a lot. I know. But the truth of the matter is, I love talking to people that talk a lot. I do. It's a wonderful thing. Just nod your head every once in a while. And you don't have to talk, right? It's a blissful moment in my life, all right? Just nod your head, you know, throw in a few things just to keep it running. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes that engine that just needs a little bit of, you know, just throw it a little, give it a shot of starter fluid every once in a while, and it'll run forever, right? Some people are like that. You just, and it starts to slow down. So, hey, listen, what did Jesus do? Jesus reached out to people that even he knew were going to hurt him. He knew that, but he did it anyway. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, Jesus died on the cross, and I know this is not a profound thought, but when you think about it and you really meditate on it, I think it helps you. But Jesus died on the cross for Judas Iscariot. Jesus died on the cross for Barabbas. Jesus died on the cross for the centurion that took that spear and shoved it up into his side. He died for them. All right? And, you know, well, that was just a terrible person. Well, so am I. But by the grace of God, I'd be a lot worse person. All right? So let's be willing to wash someone's feet. Be willing to humble ourselves and get to the point that, yeah, you can address, if I could say this, you can address even the ugly part of someone's life. Right? The part that no one, listen to me, because all of us, I said this the other day, I don't know if I said it in here or someplace else, but all of us have secrets. And sometimes you have to be willing to give yourself to that most, you know, okay, Brother Chuck, I'm not really going to have you come up wash my feet, because that's a very, and I don't think you probably would, but that's a very personal part of me, all right? It's like weird, a little weird. You could wash my hand. Like, I wouldn't have a problem somebody washing my hands. I really wouldn't. I mean, a little odd, but I wouldn't have a problem with that, Miss Rose. You know, I mean, okay, whatever. All right, I'm sure my mother did it at some point in my life, but my feet, that's another thing. That's a personal part. And sometimes people need someone that's going to invest in them personally. Personally. I'm not saying you got to go and find out every dirty detail about someone's life. I'm saying I need to be willing just to give some people with humility some of my time and invest in them personally. There's a lot of people that have been coming to church here recently. You know what they need? Somebody just say, hey, I will humble myself. I am not, all right, I do this here at church, and 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 this. All right? It doesn't matter. All right? You know what I do as much as anything is like plunge toilets. If I had like a professional toilet plunging shirt, I should keep it in my office, and every time I plunge a toilet, just put it on. Official toilet plunger. All right? Okay, sometimes it's the little things. It's not the big jobs that you do, it's the little things, and sometimes it's the little moments that you spend with somebody that makes a big deal. All right? Jesus, the person that, whether he should have or not, or should have had to or not, let me say that way, he humbled himself and washed 12 men's feet. And I promise you this, I don't think any 12 of those men ever probably forgot that. And that person that you humble yourself and spend just maybe a little out of your comfort zone moment with, it may be the one thing that they never forget. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Pray that you would guide the rest of the service. Help Brother Nichols as he preaches. Pray that you fill him with your power. Be with our preacher as he's down in Minden, helping Brother Matt and Miss Natalie at their church. And Lord, pray that you just help them have a wonderful time, be an encouragement to them there. And God, I pray that you be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. Lord, I personally need help with being humble. I need help with investing my life into the life of other people, Lord, and following your example. Lord, help that mind to be in me that was also in you, and just help me to be humble. And God, I thank you for all that you do for us. Bless these people here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.